Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The 378th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! You're on the way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court, Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to hit. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast, coming at you on a Tuesday night. After the season came to an end last Thursday, we took some time to decompress, but it's the offseason, and it's going to be a busy one for Carolina. It's going to be an important one for Carolina, and we're here to talk about, you know, the expectations for this roster this offseason, and talk about how much turnover we expect to happen, talk about Carolina's inactivity so far in the transfer portal, what that means. Right now it's just me with you tonight. Anthony may join us as the show moves along, but he is under the weather. Allergies, like many of y'all are experiencing, they've really gotten him down and out. So he might not be with us tonight. But if so, I'll be riding with you solo, talking about this roster and our expectations for what could happen this offseason. But, you know, we'll start every edition of the pod, as we always do, with the pod thought of the day. And we go to a great quote from Coach Smith. And that pod thought is, quote, "I don't feel the great ecstasy or emptiness whether we've won or lost. If we lost, I'd have another shot. I'd feel for those kids who wouldn't have another chance. Just because they won, I won't like them any more than last year's team." And, this is a message that really speaks true to me. If you watch the last episode, or if you listen to the last edition of the podcast where we recap that Bama defeat that ended Carolina's season in the Sweet 16, very emotional and very beaten up because, man, I fell in love with the 2023-2024 Tar Heels. Hubert Davis has spent a lot of time this season talking about how they restored his faith as a college basketball head coach. That you could in the world of the NIL and the world of the transfer portal, you could still get a group of guys to come together for a common goal. And for a fan, it restored my faith in, not in Carolina basketball. I never lost my faith in what this program is, what this program stands for, and what this program is going to do. But it restored my faith in college athletics, and that it's worth my time in an investment from the fan perspective. For my job, there's no doubt that I got to invest my time. But I love Carolina basketball. And this year was a great reminder of why I love Carolina basketball and why we'll continue to love Carolina basketball, even though we're in a world where they're making money. You're loving guys that are only here for 1 year or 2 years because they're transferring in, transferring out of the program. And then we have conference realignment that we'll have to touch on at some point, because the ACC's future is very bleak and very dim, and it's going to impact this program in one way or another. But that's not why we're here tonight. We're here to talk about really just the roster expectations for this team this offseason. And there's no question that the most important decisions are what R.J. Davis and Harrison Ingram decide to do. And I think more so than ever, this is truly a 50-50 decision. I think there's a good argument for R.J. Davis to come back. You could set all-time records at Carolina, further etch your name in the fan base's lore, where he's universally beloved by the Carolina faithful. Try to get back to the tournament and try to get back to the Final Four. On the flip side, he's been here 4 years, and he's accomplished a lot individually. He has played in the Final Four. He has played in the national championship game. He's won an ACC regular season title. It could be time to move on. I know Brendan Marks, who covers college basketball for The Athletic, he joined the Kyle Bailey Show on WFNZ earlier this week and said there's not a whole lot for him to go back and accomplish. And if he's leaving, even though Carolina left the tournament early, he'd be ending on a high note and be ending after, or be leaving after he had arguably one of the best seasons a Carolina guard has ever put together. As for Harrison Ingram, his draft stock is going to rise, especially if he goes through the NBA draft process. One, because this draft class is as bad as it's ever been in the modern era of the NBA draft. And B, he does a lot of things that will translate to the next level. He's an undersized wing, but a guy that we saw in ACC play can get to the glass and can rebound. He led the ACC in rebounds per game during the conference season. He does have the ability to stretch the floor. He does have the ability to create offense for himself in an isolation standpoint. There's a lot of things to like about his game when it goes to the next level, where there's even better floor spacing and just a lot more areas for him to impact the game on both ends. On the flip side, though, this is a guy that from the moment he arrived at Carolina openly talked about why he didn't regret going to Stanford, knew he made a mistake, and this is where he should have been all along. And I think there will be a pull for him to have 2 years at Carolina to further leave his name and his and a legacy and have an impact on this program in a positive way. At the end of the day, and I can't, I don't have any reporting on this. This is just a gut feeling. I think his decision will be a direct reflection of what R.J. Davis decides to do. I think if R.J. Davis decides, I've had enough, I've accomplished all that I could accomplish at Carolina, it's time for me to start my professional basketball journey, I do think Harrison Ingram goes. Because at that point, the rebuild and the roster might be too much. And Carolina might not be in a position to compete next year. RJ comes back. I think Harrison Ingram comes back. Carolina will be able to get the one or two guys they need to get in the portal. They've got two guys that are playing in the McDonald's All-American game tonight as we speak. Carolina's roster would be in a good spot. They'd be a preseason top five pick, probably the favorite to win the ACC in the preseason. And they would have a good chance at running it back and accomplishing a lot of the things they did in the regular season this year with the hopes of doing something major in the postseason next season. So those are the two big dominoes that – Carolina has to figure out. But they're not the only pieces. Like there's, when you're in the climate that we're in and the era that we're in, a guy like Elliot Cadeau, guys like Seth Trimble and Jalen Washington are guys that you have to monitor as to what they're going to do this offseason. Does Elliot Cadeau leave because He got benched in the NCAA tournament and wants to go somewhere else. I don't know. It's on the table, though. And his comments after the game weren't the type of comments you love to hear or that you wanted to hear. I would say that it was in the heat of the moment, the heat of competition, and there was just a frustration on his part not helping his team overcome his shortcomings and find a way to win. Now, I love, you know, his mother is a great follow on Twitter, very interactive. She not very happy with what happened with her son and the way that his playing time was handled in the tournament. Is that going to be a bugaboo? Is that going to be something that plays a role in this? I ultimately don't know. I said this after Carolina got beat. If Elliot Cadeau were to leave, I don't want to sit here and say I'd hold a grudge, and I wouldn't say that I would hate him as a person or a player. I think it would be a real shallow move because, A, you were a big part of what this team did this year. Carolina doesn't win an ACC regular season title without you. They don't win they're not a number one seed without you. They don't make the second weekend of the tournament without you. You were given the keys to the offense as early as any freshman truly I can remember outside of Ty Lawson. I know Marcus Page started games as a freshman, but even he wasn't really given the keys to say, hey, this is your offense, go run it. And Elliot Cadeau was the primary ball handler for an offense that featured the ACC Player of the Year. And he was given room to grow and show his abilities and to flourish. And you see the potential there. So I would like to think that the way that the season ended serves as motivation for him to get better in the gym, develop a better jump shot. That way, next year, when Carolina's in the Sweet 16, Hubert Davis isn't thinking about, oh, I've got to find offense outside of Elliot Cadeau to win this game. Hopefully, Elliot Cadeau is a part of the offensive surplus that would lead Carolina to a win in the Elite Eight. A lot of noise around Seth Trimble, as a guy that could still be looking at a third-year guy coming off the bench. I think we all learned a lesson with Puff Johnson that, you know, while this is a family, it's a family in the modern era. And it doesn't guarantee a guy's going to stay out of loyalty to Carolina Blue. A lot of people look at Marquette as a potential landing spot if he were to go into the transfer portal. I think Wisconsin would also be a school that would be heavily interested in him. Michigan, a school that everyone thought he was going to commit to before Hubert Davis got the gig 3 years ago. Ultimately, I don't see Seth Trimble leaving. I think this is a guy that loves Carolina, loves his role. I think he saw how important he was when he missed those few games with the upper body injury in the end of January, at the beginning of February. And as of today, is he guaranteed to be a starter next year? I don't know. But I think this is a guy that if he returns, is going to know he's going to be a big part of what Carolina is going to do and have a chance to take that next step as a player to maybe become a starter and becoming a bigger part of what Carolina does collectively and what he does individually. And then you have Jalen Washington, a guy that, as of right now, would be Carolina's starting big man. If the roster was not to be added another big man, you have Zayden High and James Okonkwo, and James Brown is coming in. But Jalen Washington is the best of the quartet of those guys. And we saw it at different times this year. And there's an offensive upside to him. And you get the even more better floor spacing, and you get to do some of the things that Hubert Davis wants to do offensively that you couldn't do with Armando Bacot, a below-the-center rim big man. And so I think that's another guy that everyone's going to look at. Does he move on to a bigger role, to an NIL bag, to just somewhere different? I don't know. Hubert Davis, confirmed on the radio show last night that the exit meetings are underway. And every conversation, every interaction he's had so far has been a positive one. And it's been one that, he said he felt really encouraged about where the team and the roster was, because Everybody came away saying, this is the most fun I've ever had being a part of a basketball team. And with the way the season ended, there's a hunger, a thirst, a desire to get back to the same position you were this past year, but advance deep into the tournament. And look, that's something that isn't guaranteed. I think it's what's going to weigh really, really big on RJ Davis's decision, because there's no guarantee Carolina wins an ACC regular season title. There's no guarantee that Carolina is a one seed in the NCAA tournament. There's no guarantee that they make the Sweet 16, but it's the opportunity to really build off of what you did this year. And so, you know, those are, you know, outside of RJ and Ingram, those are the three guys who I think their decisions will be the most impactful because they played the most minutes. You know, Jalen Withers has another year that he could play as a graduate. I would hope that the negativity he received on social media wouldn't cause him to overreact and to leave and to transfer out of the program, because there's an opportunity for him next year to be a big part of what Carolina does. This guy had a double-double in the NCAA tournament. You saw how impactful he was in the win at Duke in the regular season finale that helped Carolina clinch the outright ACC title. Again, this was a local kid that, you know, went to Louisville, didn't experience a whole lot of success, goes to Carolina and experienced all the worlds of success and was a big part of that. Has a chance to have a bigger role next year. And kind of like Elliot Cadeau, you don't want the lasting memory of Jalen Withers to be him taking a wide open three up one in the Sweet 16 and missing it, and then missing a rotation on the other end, drawing a foul while Grant Nelson scored an and one as Alabama would move ahead for good and in Carolina season. I don't want that to be my lasting memory of Jalen Withers. And so I think that's a guy that you got to look at and say it's uncertain what he does, but I think it's a guy that will come back and want to be a part of Carolina basketball for 2 years after experiencing all the things he experienced during his time at Louisville. Other guys of note, you know, you got Zayden High, the reserve freshman big that played, you know, minutes in November and December, was put in the game in the ACC season simply just to save Carolina some fouls or to agitate the opponent, because he very animated, very lively, and was able to get under people's skin. I think he's talented. I think he's gifted, but was not ready for the ACC stage this year. Another offseason in Carolina's program, you know, and that body continues to fill out. I do think this is a guy that can do some really impactful things and be a part of Carolina's rotation next season. You factor in the three guys that are coming in, you know, Ian Jackson, Drake Powell, the two guys that are playing in the McDonald's All-American game tonight, and then you got James Brown, the four-star center. That's also going to play a role in some of these guys' decisions. When you got two McDonald's All-Americans showing up, you know, there's a very good chance those guys will be very impactful players right away, whether they're in the starting lineup, whether they're coming off the bench. Do guys want to compete for minutes? Do guys want to compete for a spot in the rotation? Or do they want to go somewhere else where they could be basically assured playing time? I would like to think that you're going to have guys that are going to want to stay and compete because it makes the team better. It builds depth and it just makes you so much tougher to beat in the regular season and, of course, in March. But this is a different era. And you just, you know, that's not a given anymore. With player empowerment, they can go wherever they want because they'll have better situations, more money, more offers, more of everything. And so I think it's why Carolina is gonna take their time and really sort everything out before they start going into the transfer portal. which is where we're going to go next when we come back on this edition of the Four Corners podcast, because the portal's been open since the Monday after Selection Sunday. And if you're watching or listening, feel free to correct me. As far as my knowledge serves me, Carolina has not offered a single prospect in the transfer portal. There have been multiple teams in the ACC and other power conferences that have already started landing recruits. I mean, Iowa State was filling out their roster while in the NCAA tournament. As to my knowledge, Carolina has not contacted anybody, and they've been very quiet on that front. And so when we come back, we'll talk about that strategy, talk about if we like that, if we hate that, because we know the portal is the biggest key to roster building in modern college basketball. So we'll talk about Carolina's inactivity in the transfer portal next when we return to the Four Corners podcast. But first, a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTUFF. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
All right, welcome back inside the Four Corners podcast, guys, here on a Tuesday night, talking about our roster expectations for Carolina this offseason. We just kind of went through the roster decisions that a bunch of guys have to make and will have to make this offseason. Of course, starting with R.J. Davis and Harrison Ingram being the two most important, the two most impactful, and then everything will kind of play itself out from there with guys like Trimble, Jay Wash, Ellie, Jay Witt, and those guys. On the flip side, though, Carolina has been very quiet in the transfer portal. And like I said, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I've been checking it every day. Now it's almost hour by hour because it's hard to imagine that we're 2 weeks into the portal being open and Carolina hasn't reached out to anybody. But that's the reality of the situation as far as my knowledge goes. Part of that is because Hubert Davis made it known that he was not going to be involved in the transfer portal while his team was in the NCAA tournament. And this is something we've heard a lot of coaches talk out against. You know, T.J. Otzelberger, Brad Underwood, they were talking about preparing for a Sweet 16 game while, you know, calling and talking to transfers and trying to fill out the roster for next season while they're in the tournament. It's not good for the sport. You look at what college football has done with their timeline. It is now almost a 365-day-a-year sport. I don't think college hoops will ever get to that point. And frankly, I enjoy that it does, and I like that the sport, you know, does have a true off season. But if you back that up and you open the portal the Monday before the Final Four or the Tuesday after the national championship game, you lengthen that window. Now we're talking about college basketball at least to the middle of May, at least to Memorial Day. You're getting more eyes on the sport, more coverage for the sport. And I think it'd be helpful because, you're talking about a sport that gets marginalized to a three-week event but has fantastic ratings. Well, now if we can drum up the interest and the coverage in the offseason, it might make people more willing to tune in than to November, December, January, and February. And as a college basketball junkie, it's my favorite sport because it's the most unpredictable sport. Like if people would watch from November through March, they would see that March is special and it's magical. But what you see in March is what you see all 5 months of the college hoop season. So You know, Myron Goodman just commented and said, I think players were told not to mention UNC if they were contacted. Very much a possibility. Carolina wanting to keep their activity on the down low. On the surface, I like hearing that from Huber Davis, that we're going to focus on the season and the team and the task at hand. And the task at hand was to get to the Final Four, play for a national championship. With that said, the second that the horn sounded and Carolina flew back from L.A. on Friday, the activity should have picked up then. And like I said, maybe Myron Goodman's right. Maybe the activity is there and Carolina is keeping it very, very quiet. But with Carolina being the brand that they are, I find it hard to believe that it would be kept that quiet, because they're going to be going after high profile transfers that would like to make it known that Carolina has made contact with them, because it plays a role in their NIL leverage, depending on which school they end up at. And so I think this is something that we're still adjusting to as College Hoops fans. But it's why I mentioned, and it's why I think this might be something that we see, get remedied in the offseason, where I think the portal date will be pushed back, because it's not good for college basketball that, the transfer portal is going on during the NCAA tournament, which is the biggest, event that we have, in college athletics. You want the focus to be on that and not on guys that are transferring to find new homes. With that, when you're trying to talk about guys that guys that Carolina could potentially be interested in, and just really going through the list of potential candidates that Carolina could and should target. I wrote the article about Doug McDaniel at Michigan entering the transfer portal. There was, a lot of pushback, about him, because he had the issue where he got suspended for six games, during the season at Michigan. Do you want that type of potential locker room issue on your roster? I get the answer, and it's easy to say no to that. But, he is a guard that, was able to put the ball in the basket, and you would maybe think that, change of scenery and being around a better culture, you're getting the most out of his talent. Virtually everybody from, everyone from Florida Atlantic, Vlad Golden, John L. Davis, those guys are going to go into the transfer portal. Those are high end, three-star players when they were coming out that took FAU to a Final Four. But all signs points to them going to Michigan with their head coach, Dusty May. Of course, everyone has the guy out of Stanford as the most coveted, transfer, and it's worked out well for Carolina as they were able to go get, Harrison Ingram. That might be something that Carolina uses to their advantage again. You have to wait and see. I think one reason why Carolina has been as quiet as they've been is you're waiting to see who all shows up and who all is at your disposal, and then kind of zero in and go find what you want. I do think, it's very obvious that on the surface, Carolina needs to get a big. As much as I like Jalen Washington, I think, A, you want some depth, and B, as much as Washington, played this year and he had his minutes last year, he would be very inexperienced, stepping into that starting role as a junior. If you can go get a guy in the portal that has starting experience, even if it's at the mid-major level, I think it's something that you got to look into. More importantly, you just need to have depth. Because James Okonkwo is a guy that is a depth guy, but it's not a guy that you want playing big minutes. I don't envision James Brown having a big role when he arrives on campus. And then you have Zayden High, a guy that kind of like Jalen Washington, is not going to be ready for big minutes next year. He might be a guy that's best suited to play 8 to 12 minutes a game, and then try to build a, you know, build up from there. And so I think that's the first thing Carolina has to go get, is trying to secure a big man. I think the other thing that that Carolina has to get, and this is even if Harrison Ingram comes back, is they need, and look, I know you've got Drake Powell coming in, but he's going to be a freshman making that adjustment from high school to the college game. You need a dynamic player on the wing. You look at the four teams that are left standing. They all four in their own right have a dynamic wing in some capacity. And a common thread that, you know, that big wing has is experience. And so, you know, Carolina was the fifth oldest team in the country this year. They were literally older than the Oklahoma City Thunder were in the NBA, a team that I think is, what, top three in the Western Conference. You're not going to tell me that that didn't pay dividends and that didn't lead and play a role in the success that Carolina enjoyed this season, which, as we know, which resulted in an ACC regular season title, a regular season sweep of Duke. They played in an ACC tournament final, made the second weekend of the tournament, and was a one seed in the tournament. So, you know, I think that right there are the two biggest needs that Carolina, you know, would have to address. You've got Kadir Copeland, a guy that we saw play a big role in Syracuse's upset win over Carolina. You know, played a big role in a win at Syracuse's win at NC State. Has an edge to him. Something Anthony's talked a lot about is, you know, bringing guys in that fit the culture and bring an edge and an intensity to this team on and off the court. That was something that Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram both did this year. And, of course, hopefully you're not losing that and you hope Ingram is back. But, you know, those were guys that fit in Carolina's culture, weren't afraid to lead, and really brought an edge that this team and this program needed after the disappointing season that we experienced last year, being preseason number one and missing the NCAA tournament altogether. The biggest thing is going to be what happens with R.J. Davis. If R.J. doesn't transfer or if R.J. doesn't go pro, I think Carolina would be very, you know, confident and settled with their backcourt. If he goes pro, and even if Ellie stays and Seth stay and you know, you bring it in an Ian Jackson, Carolina's going to have to go get someone in the portal that can lead the backcourt. And it's why I had referenced Doug McDaniel early on in the offseason. Yes, admitting that there was some off-the-court issues there, but you know, you're going to have to go get a guy that can put the ball in the bucket. And you know, there's no replacing an R.J. Davis, but you got to find a way to supplement the loss of production. And so, you know, look, this thing is going to continue to fill up. You know, I think a guy like Boopie Miller, a guy who's, you know, going through the portal process and the NBA process, Carolina needs to do their due diligence. Same thing with Sean Padula. I'm a guy that's transferring out of Virginia Tech. So is Tyler Nickel, by the way. And look, I don't know how, you know, damaged that relationship is, but obviously, you know, whatever didn't work out for him at Carolina didn't work out for him in Blacksburg. Maybe it was a humbling experience for the young man, and maybe he calls Carolina back up and say, look, I made a mistake. I want to be a part of your team, your program, and what you're doing. And I think I'd be open to bringing back a guy that would be a dead-eye shooter and could add to Carolina in a lot of different ways. And so I think the next couple days and the next week or so is going to be spent for Hubert Davis as a staff, identifying the guys that they want to go get in the transfer portal, which is why I think that they have taken their time, because Carolina has the right to be picky, and you want to make sure you're getting the right guys, not the wrong guys. You've gotten it right 2 out of the 3 years. You got it right with Brady Manick. You got it right with the quartet of guys you brought in this year. Or if you want to make it the you know, all five of them, and even the Conquo. You nailed it with Ingram. You nailed it with Ryan. We saw Paxton Wojcik's ability to impact the game as the season moved along. Jalen Withers was a productive guy for you off the bench. James Okonkwo, I think, was just a guy that helped to get everybody, make everybody better at practice. It was a fun guy to watch on the bench because as a guy that knew wasn't playing was still very engaged every time the team was on the court. You didn't get it necessarily right when you brought in Pete Nance. So, you know, you're 2 for 3, which isn't bad. Now you got to go 3 for 4. And so I think that's going to be what the next couple of days are going to be focused on, which are figuring out who's staying, figuring out who's leaving, and then identifying the guys in the portal to rebuild the roster and put Carolina in the best position possible in 2024, 2025 to compete both in the regular season and the postseason. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and dip out of here because before I do, we do have one closing note. I imagine you're aware of this by now, but earlier tonight, R.J. Davis was named to the Wooden All-American team, one of 10 guys to be named to that. And he's also a finalist for the Wooden Award, an award that will be given out, you know, next Tuesday. So we're talking about a guy that continues to just roll in the accolades, even though his season has come to an end. And now we're all kind of waiting like LeBron fans were in 2010 to figure out his decision. But even though R.J. Davis's season has fallen short, he's still getting the recognition, still getting the accolades, and he got another one tonight, being named to the Wooden All-American team and also being a finalist for the Wooden Award. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. In the meantime, we will encourage you to visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com, where an article about R.J. Is already posted on the website. You can go and read about that article as we speak. Any decision-making or any roster news that does come out, we're going to have you covered. So whether it's guys announcing that they're staying, guys announcing that they're leaving, we'll have you covered with that news. Any news in the transfer portal, the second Carolina offers a guy, there will be an article on the website. There will be a podcast up. So even though we're now into the off-season mode for Carolina basketball, I do encourage you to visit the website every single day because the news does not stop. As for the podcast, guys, you know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. And want to thank every single one of you guys that contributed to the biggest month in podcast history, the month of March, the Four Corners Podcast on the audio platform had over 12,300 downloads, a record-setting month for the podcast for the third straight month. We cannot thank you enough. Continue to be humbled by the support that you guys show us and the way we've seen this thing grow. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of hard work. And it's good to see that hard work be rewarded by the response that you guys show, downloading every edition of the podcast the way that you do, tuning in on the audio or on the video platform as well. We simply cannot thank you enough, but we do encourage you to make sure you hit that subscribe button if you already haven't done so, because we're not going away in the summertime, baby. We took the weekend. It was the holiday weekend to kind of reset, regroup, recharge. We're back on the saddle. All the news for the rosters, the you know, from the transfer portal, we'll have you covered. I'll still bring in on guests in the offseason to talk about recruiting and the like. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the basketball season. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. I do want to thank everybody that was watching and listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that!